This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Remember Frankie Valli? Four Seasons? Oh, yeah. Golly, that's a long time ago, huh? I was in high school when the Four Seasons became big. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, many years later, and with my buddy, my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, February the 24th. It's the last Monday of the month. Wow. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about how Republicans have introduced some feel-good climate legislation and in the process wasting everybody's time. So stay tuned for that. And Trump's in India, basking in the, I guess you could call it, Indian affirmation. They seem to love him over there, at least the party leaders, the head of the government. Meanwhile, Democrats hoping Bernie Sanders has a heart attack or something before November. We're going to discuss that realization. Be careful what you wish for, because you got it. And what the alternatives might be for them. And the Medicare for All idea of the Democratic presidential candidates was what Ronald Reagan warned about almost 60 years ago. He called it socialized medicine back then. Same thing. We're going to bring you that speech and to show you how spot on the Gipper really was about it. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a great one. The top 10 fastest growing jobs in America. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, the best haircutter for men in Tampa Bay, quite frankly. He's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, which is just north of State Road 580. They call it Main Street there in Dunedin. Just north of Main Street on Overcash Drive. Get over there. They're closed on Mondays, but Tuesday through Saturday. Tuesday through Saturday. Not only a great haircut, a great price. And don't forget, you can listen to our show anytime because we podcast it for you. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. Well, Donald Trump's over in India, and so he's in the state of India while Democrats are in the state of flux with Bernie Sanders and what they're going to do with him. In the meantime, while Donald is over there, and he's with the First Lady, they went to the Taj Mahal. Probably figures he can probably build a hotel that looks like the Taj Mahal, right? Maybe he was writing notes while he was there. They strolled around the grounds of the Taj. Now, I guess Trump owned the Taj Mahal Hotel, now that I think about it. Yeah. Was that in Atlantic City? I think it was. He had huge rowds. Well, he had rowds, but he also had crowds. Huge crowds at the rally where he announced a $3 billion deal. $3 billion with a B to send state-of-the-art military helicopters to India. No wonder they were cheering him. He's giving away our money. He's giving away our money over there. In the meantime, what are the Democrats going to do about Bernie Sanders? Did you know that he is now apparently defending Fidel Castro? Oh, that'll help. That'll help. Tell everybody that Fidel Castro was a good guy. Sanders, who's now, by the way, the front runner, did you know that he, I think he tripled the closest contender's percentage of vote? And the closest contender was Joe Biden. So he's the front runner. And he doubled down on supporting the late Cuban dictator Fidel Castro, saying some of his policies were not that bad. Now, the interview aired Sunday on 60 Minutes. You got to remember that Sanders is a socialist, self-proclaimed. At least he doesn't hide behind the bush when he tells you, right? He's up front. Some of the others who are espousing very similar policies try and say, no, I'm a capitalist. Highlighting Elizabeth Sanders on that thing. He says, this is Sanders on 60 Minutes, we're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba, but you know, it's unfair to simply say everything is bad there. He says, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing? He said. I got to practice my Bernie Sanders. You know, I used to do Nixon, Ed, and I could do a little bit of Lyndon Johnson. I can do a John Kennedy. But Bernie I can do, too. I can do a Bernie Sanders.
Well, you also have to do the body motion, too, because that helps.
Yes.
Wasn't that bad?
Hey, you're not bad either.
You got to get point with the right. And yeah, point down with the right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always pointing down as if...
May I speak? May I speak?
You are right, sir. So he's defending Castro. Well, that's great. That'll help. He's going to get lots of votes from Cuba. I mean, from the Cubans down in Florida. Mm-hmm. Here in Florida, right? By defending Fidel. No, I don't think so. So all of that is going on. And in the meantime, Democrats are scared stiff. They're scared stiff because a lot of them, especially in the Democratic Party itself and the Democratic National Committee, think that that's the kiss of death if Bernie Sanders becomes their candidate, that there is no way that he can beat the Donald.
I have a few friends that are Democrats. Well, I don't hold it against them.
No, of course not.
And I said to them, I said, you know, it seems Bernie Sanders is ahead. Are you going to vote for him? And they're like, hell no.
Really?
And I said, well, who are you going to vote for? And they're like, I don't know. At this point, we don't know.
They may stay
same
home.
Same answer, three different people.
Really?
Apart. Not in the same room or anything.
They just didn't think much of the socialistic thing?
No, they think he's crazy. They just think he's crazy. They're like, I don't know where these votes are coming from, that he's so far ahead or is ahead. But
you know, he's getting good rallies. People are showing
up. I know,
up.
But
it's
but
a kind of a younger
look
group.
Look at the people in there.
They don't know yet. They're so young.
They're 18 years old.
Right. No, you're right. He's right. You know, people kind of grow out of socialism. You know, when you're young and you hear, it's like, well, we want to take in and help these people. They need help. Of course people need help. But you can help people in the free market. The way Bernie Sanders wants to do it is, we'll forget the free market. We'll have the government take care of these people.
Now, see, now you're talking like you had a stroke.
I did, maybe. You never know. And I think a lot of the Democrats, if he does get in, Bernie, that is, are going to pray for that he has a stroke. Didn't he have a heart attack? So if he had a heart attack before, it can happen again, you know. No. Sometimes they
not going to release the records. He did 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
Release them now. I did 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there is odds in Las Vegas if he becomes president on his surviving a first term, you know. So we'll see about that. Anyway, let us change gears. We're going to talk about some Republicans and maybe some stupid legislation. It has to do with climate change. And would you believe that some Republicans in the House are introducing some climate change legislation? We'll talk with all of that with Myron Ebell.
Well, I wanna, wanna, lot of love it. Oh, but I wanna, wanna hug it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving. Yes, sirree, baby.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday morning on Freedom Works and delighted to have back Byron E. Bell, who is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment, and had penned a piece not long ago about the effort by some House Republicans to introduce what Myron calls rather pointless and costly climate legislation. Myron, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Why are Republicans, Myron, even worried about having to introduce climate change legislation? It's like, it seems to be a Republican issue, and the big deal about it is, you know, how you're going to pay for all of that that climate change stuff to begin with. You would think that the Republicans would fall back on all of the things that are good about the economy and unemployment and the like. Why do you think Republicans would even want to take a look at this issue like this?
I think it comes from election calculations coming out of Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's office and his pollsters like Frank Luntz, who are telling him that, well, we've got a bunch of suburban districts we need to win or win back, and there's our focus group show that people, voters are concerned about climate change and think Republicans aren't doing anything. So we have to show that we're doing something. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, there's polls and focus groups are often an alternative or a substitute for thought, and I think in this case that's what's going on.
Oh, really?
You know the kind of thing, you can't beat something with nothing attitude. And you actually hit on this. There is actually an alternative to the energy rationing programs like the Green New Deal and carbon taxes and all those things. And it's called the Trump Energy Agenda, and it's keeping energy prices low in the states that want low prices.
Sure.
I mean, if you want high electric rates and you want high gas taxes, you can move to California or New York. But if you want low electric rates and low gas prices, you might want to move to someplace like Ohio or Indiana or Kentucky, or, you know, I could give you a whole bunch of states that,
right,
that have not bought on to this this bandwagon mentality of global warming.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's a buzzsaw issue because nobody's got any answer for changing the climate. Used to be everybody worried. I think you and I talked about this before. Everybody worried about how cold things were going to get. And we went back and looked at what some of those articles way right. back and those headlines. I think it was you that I was talking with about all of that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in the 1970s.
Yeah.
80s and, yeah.
Crazy.
Global cooling was the big problem. Well, in fact, if we are entering a period of global cooling, I do think we have a lot to worry about because growing seasons will be shorter, less grain production. I think a small amount of global warming, at least so far, has been largely beneficial. But, you know, the Republicans have got these bills that the problem with what they're doing is they're conceding the point that global warming is a problem that government has to do something about. And then they're introducing bills that won't actually do anything. And so they're anything useful. And
yeah.
so they're, you know, if you actually do believe that the answer to climate nirvana is cutting our emissions from burning coal, oil, and natural gas to zero in the next 10 or 20 years, then we would have to have a massive takeover of the economy by the government to achieve that. And it would mean much lower living standards for Americans. Most people would not be driving cars. A lot of people would not be able to afford air conditioning, and we can go through the list.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the fact is that even if the U.S. went to zero emissions by, let's say, 2030, Chinese emissions are now larger than the United States and the European Union combined. And unlike ours, China's emissions are continuing to go up fairly rapidly every year. So we could put our economy on a very strict energy diet, and we still wouldn't do anything about the alleged problem. So what the Republicans are doing is even sillier, which is, well, let's pretend that we've got some bills here that pretend that we're going to do something, and let's see if voters will buy that.
Right. And one of them is called the Enhanced Carbon Oxide Sequestration Credit Act. Don't try and say that if you've had a few drinks. Permanently extending and enhancing this tax credit for carbon use and sequestration. You know, it all gets lost in the shuffle. I think I don't know how much attention even suburban housewives are paying to this. But Frank Luns, I guess you got to justify your job sometimes. And he's a pollster, and he's got the ear, I guess, of Kevin McCarthy, who does pull some rank, you know, in the Congress, right?
Right, right. Well, and you know, he's very interested in regaining a majority for Republicans in the Congress, and so he's listening to the advice of the politicos and the pollsters. I think what he ought to, you know, do is listen a little bit more closely to what's really at stake here and how powerful the Trump record of unleashing the economy through energy and environmental deregulation has been. And that we have the lowest electric rates in the world in the states that want low electric rates. And we are now starting to see manufacturing, which for over 20 years was leaving the United States because energy and labor and regulation were all too high here. The labor regulations were just as bad as energy regulations in many cases. And what we see now is with the American energy prices are giving America a huge competitive advantage over other countries. And so I think if we don't screw it up politically, I think we're going to see that continuing over a long period of time.
Sure.
That manufacturers see, hey, look, we can not only produce things in the United States, but we can actually outcompete China and other countries that have very cheap labor and have very low regulatory hurdles.
You know, I think much like the healthcare thing where, you know, people like Bernie Sanders are insisting that the government start taking it over. I mean, the free market always comes up with better ways of dealing with these kinds of issues. And the law of that law does not change, I don't think, with the environment. It's in the private sector, and quite frankly, even in the states, where these ideas, the technology and everything else, going to come. It's not going to come from some bureaucrat in Washington.
Well, some people think that bureaucracies are extremely creative and innovative. In France they even have a Ministry of Innovation.
Oh, God spare us! Do they really?
With a cabinet minister, the Minister of Innovation.
It sounds like Monty Python. Go ahead.
It does. Yeah.
Right next to the Ministry of Silly Walks, we got this.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, innovation in anything, and ways to deal with any issue. And it's so hard, of course, because we can't even agree on whether or not man is causing how much damage or non-damage or whatever to the environment, Nobody can even agree on that. So if you can't agree on that, how are you going to fix it, right?
Well, I think there is some agreement amongst there are two groups of people in the climate science community. There are the people, the modelers, who have big computer climate models, and they drive the debate. They predict a lot of warming and a lot of very bad impacts from rapid warming. And then you have the scientists who actually look at the data and collect data and analyze data, and what they find is a very modest rate of warming, far below what the computers predict, and impacts that are very mild and in many cases quite beneficial. I mean, depending on how where you live, the climate is always changing locally and regionally, and some changes, people like maybe in Minnesota, there are people who are worried that there's going to be a little bit a shorter season for ice fishing. I don't know.
Well,
that's why everybody retires to Minnesota and North Dakota, right?
But isn't there this what would you call it, ebb and flow? In other words, we're in a warming ebb or flow, I guess, a flow. But can't we all of a sudden hit one of those? We might change gears and be in the ebb, and the cold weather coming back again. Then what are we going to say? Are we going to say man's causing that too?
Well, yes, you hit the nail on the head before when you said we don't really know enough about the climate to know what human actions might actually be useful or which might be harmful. There's a lot we don't know about the climate in terms of cycles. Some people are saying that solar cycles were at a very low ebb right now in the solar cycle, and that could actually cause some cooling. So, you're absolutely right. I think we need to be careful about intervening without having really very adequate knowledge about what the consequences of our interventions are.
Right. Well, it is always a pleasure, Myron, to talk with you, especially on topics that have to do with the environment. You've got a keen eye on it. We thank you so very much. I know we'll be talking with you again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. There he is, Myron Ebell. He is pretty good, isn't he? I think he buys into some of that, that man does cause some of that stuff. And, all you have to do is look around to all of the heavy smog pollution in some of these major cities around the world. And you got to believe that it's affecting people's situations, their breathing and everything else. But the long-term effects, that's really the question. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Ronald Reagan talked about socialized medicine over 60 years ago. We're going to listen to him.
I hate you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumbling down. You leave me breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
The largest aerospace expo in the South, Sun and Fun, returns to the skies of Lakeland March 31st through April 5th. It's not just an air show, it's everything aviation in 2020. Walk among hundreds of aircraft and be amazed at air shows with breathtaking aerobatic displays by the world's top pilots. See mighty warbirds in flight, from vintage bombers to modern fighter jets, and feel the heat of a 1,000-foot wall of fire. Plus, new for 2020, our Stemtastic Pavilion with dozens of interactive activities for all ages. Oh, and let's not forget the precision flying of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. Take advantage of the Florida Resident Weekend Special, Saturday, April 4th and Sunday, April 5th, and get three shows for the price of one. Come Saturday, stay for the night air show with its amazing Star Dance Spectacular Drone Light Show, aerobatic flyers, plus a fireworks display. Then return Sunday for an additional show for free. Children under 10 are free, so make plans to bring the whole family and experience the past, present, and future of aviation at the Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. Visit us at flysnf.org.
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Just do it. Wiener dog races and high-flying duck dogs. Pet entertainment. Check out the all-new Escape Room. Bring your furry friends to the Bay Area Renaissance Festival this weekend for the Pirate and Pup Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Just do it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And since it's Monday, it's time to talk with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, about what has been going on. And Angelo, I'm just taking a look at the stock market. Did you know that the stock market is now down 845 points? What's going on?
Uh-oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that one.
Oh, you mean you don't have some sort of intelligent answer for that?
No. Could it be the coronavirus?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The coronavirus. The coronavirus has been spreading, and it's struck fear into these investors. Because, of course, it will, if it's moving about in these different countries, it's going to affect business, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So that's what's going on. In the meantime, our buddy is over in India. Mr. Trump and Melania, they went to the Taj Mahal. You know that Taj Mahal is even more expensive than my house? And they took that. Did you know Donald Trump has a Taj Mahal hotel somewhere? I think it's in Atlantic City.
I think it is.
Yeah. So what's going on? What do you think about, what did you think about the Nevada caucus on Saturday and Bernie Sanders really controlling it?
A lot of Dems are up in arms a little bit. The ones that are, trying to push him out of the picture. I think he's going to be the nominee.
You think he will?
I think he will. I think he's going to beat out Bloomberg and Steyer and all this. They're going to be into this next debate.
Speaking of the debate, Angelo, we're talking with Angelo Ceresi, our eye in the northern sky, out of Rochester, New York. Did you watch? Did you watch the debate, and did you think it had much influence on the voting in Nevada?
I don't think so, no. I didn't watch it, no. But I doubt it. I think people's minds are made up. He's got a momentum going, And it seems like, he's promising everybody everything under the sun.
Right.
And, you feed them all that stuff. Boy, I still can't believe the American public are going to vote for a communist, But these millennials, mainly that are really behind him, have no idea what communism is like or what it's about.
Yeah, Ed and I were talking about that before you came on. The fact that these kids, who don't really kind of understand what communism was all about, what socialism is all about. He's got that young, frenetic group, but he does have a large contingent of people. Now, the latest, and I'll bring Ed in on this, the latest is that the Democrats are trying to talk some of the moderates running for president to drop so that the rest can coalesce behind a single moderate. Now, whether, you know, now that's where it really gets funny if you are watching it as we are from kind of outside. Which one of these people is going to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll sacrifice myself, right, Ed?
Yeah, and the people that you look at, they're young, and this group of people have never even voted before. They don't know what they're getting into.
They have no idea.
You remember 4 years ago, they were 16, 17, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. They've never voted before. And if you look at that crowd, we thought it was funny when Bernie Sanders said, my good friend Danny Glover, and that girl behind him mouthed, who's that?
Yeah, they've lost touch. They don't know.
They don't know. I mean, it's they're young, and it's like a drug dealer on a school zone, you know, selling the stuff.
That's scary.
I'm surprised Clint Eastwood is backing up Bloomberg.
You're right. There was an article, and I did read it. Very, very good of you to even bring it up. That's very interesting because he tends to be a libertarian conservative. I think that's how he describes himself.
Right, but where in the world is Bloomberg?
Because he doesn't
like a pancake. You flip him over, he flip flops. You know,
he doesn't like because he doesn't like Trump's personality. I think that's really what it is. I don't think he disagrees with. I don't think Clint disagrees with Trump's policies as much as his way of
personality, right?
Yeah, don't you feel that?
Yeah, I do, but I mean, still, I mean, we're not paying him for his personality.
Well, you're exactly right.
We're paying him to keep this country safe and make America great again.
Right, right.
I mean, he doesn't take the money, you know?
Yeah. We are going to do, we're going to bring people back to a speech that Ronald Reagan made, Angelo, in 1961, when it wasn't called Medicare for All, it was called socialized medicine. And you and I remember that. We were kids and we heard that term, right? You remember that term?
Yeah, socialized medicine,
right.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do, and we appreciate you being on, is we're going to go down memory lane. We're going to listen to what Ronald Reagan in 1961 had to say about the danger of socialized medicine.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, If we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that. Walter Reuther said, "It's no secret that the United Automobile Workers is officially on record as backing a program of national health insurance." And by national health insurance, he meant socialized medicine for every American. Well, let's see what the socialists themselves had to say about it. They say, "Once the Foran bill is passed, this nation will be provided with a mechanism for socialized medicine capable of indefinite expansion in every direction until it includes the entire population." Well, we can't say we haven't been warned. Now, Congressman Foran is no longer a congressman of the United States government. He has been replaced, not in his particular assignment, but in his backing of such a bill, by Congressman King of California. It is presented in the idea of a great emergency that millions of our senior citizens are unable to provide needed medical care. But this ignores the fact that in the last decade, 127 million of our citizens, in just 10 years, have come under the protection of some form of privately owned medical or hospital insurance. Now, the advocates of this bill, when you try to oppose it, challenge you on an emotional basis. They say, what would you do? Throw these poor old people out to die with no medical attention? That's ridiculous, and of course, no one has advocated it. As a matter of fact, in the last session of Congress, a bill was adopted known as the Kerr-Mills Bill. Now, without even allowing this bill to be tried to see if it works, they have introduced this King Bill, which is really the Foran Bill. What is the Kerr-Mills Bill? It is a frank recognition of the medical need or problem of a senior citizens that I've mentioned. And it is provided from the federal government money to the states and the local communities that can be used at the discretion of the state to help those people who need it. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think we could be excused for believing that, as ex-Congressman Foran said, this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, "Since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." They want to attach this bill to Social Security, and they say here is a great insurance program now instituted, now working. Let's take a look at Social Security itself. Again, very few of us disagree with the original premise that there should be some form of saving that would keep destitution from following unemployment by reason of death, disability, or old age. And to this end, Social Security was adopted. But it was never intended to supplant private savings, private insurance, pension programs of unions and industries. Now, in our country, under our free enterprise system, we have seen medicine reach the greatest heights that it has in any country in the world. Today, the relationship between patient and doctor in this country is something to be envied anyplace. The privacy, the care that is given to a person, the right to choose a doctor, the right to go from one doctor to the other. But let's also look from the other side at the freedom the doctor loses. A doctor would be reluctant to say this. Well, like you, I'm only a patient, so I can say it in his behalf. The doctor begins to lose freedoms. It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another. First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients. They're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town. They already have enough doctors. You have to go someplace else. And from here, it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. I know how I'd feel if you, my fellow citizens, decided that to be an actor, I had to become a government employee and work in a national theater. Take it into your own occupation or that of your husband. All of us can see what happens once you establish the precedent that the government can determine a man's working place and his working methods, determine his employment. From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, to determining his pay. And pretty soon, your son won't decide when he's in school where he will go or what he will do for a living, he will wait for the government to tell him where he will go to work.
And there you go. We got most all of that speech in there. He goes on to talk, Ronald Reagan does, about certain people that you got to contact in 1961. But way back in 1961, that was even before the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson and Medicare and Medicaid. We did not have Medicare and Medicaid when he gave that speech. But how prescient he was, how prescient he was about government takeover of one of our most important and fundamental industries, which is the healthcare industry. Okay, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to tell you the top 10 fastest growing jobs in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you for being with us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And this isn't really a campus quackery story, Ed, but you know how we do that once in a while. We don't want Wilbur on this one, but it does involve the University of Connecticut, where state legislators in Connecticut are considering repealing a 100-year-old law that bans ridicule based on race, religion, or nationality. And the reason is, at the University of Connecticut, apparently two white students back in October were recorded on video of saying some disparaging remarks about African Americans, not to any one of them in particular, but just about African Americans in general. And so the students who uttered these racial slurs several times, they were walking through a parking lot on campus, the slurs were recorded by a black student, and the two white students were charged under a 1917 law that makes it a misdemeanor in Connecticut for anyone to, quote, ridicule or hold up to contempt any person or class of persons on account of the creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race. Well, that pretty much kiboshes your free speech, doesn't it? I mean, right there. So nobody ever really took it for seriousness. They just kind of let it go, right? But it's been on the books. But these two guys who were recorded actually had to go to court. And so, I mean, are you going to throw those two guys into jail for what they said? No. Even, you know, liberal groups like the ACLU, are going to defend these two white students to say what they want. So a public hearing has been scheduled for this coming Friday in Connecticut on this 100-year-old bill. And it'll be interesting to see whether they finally revoke it. So there you go. All right. So we were talking a little bit about Fidel Castro and how Bernie Sanders really was mentioning some of the good things he did. Well, I guess you can mention, if you want to mention Fidel Castro and some of the things he did, one of the things Bernie mentioned was, well, he made the kids take certain tests in school so that they would, you know, had something to do with the schooling of the kids. Well, yeah, well, then let's all salute Adolf Hitler. He certainly got the kids in line, didn't he? All the youth movement.
I was going to say, can you imagine what those remarks to the Cuban American?
Yeah, that's going to help his Cuban American vote, isn't it?
Yeah, wow. for that group down there, the Cuban American.
They hated him worse than Hitler. They hated Castro worse than Hitler.
That would be, you know, like German Americans offended by if Trump were to say that Hitler had some great ideas.
Yeah. You can barely, I mean, they will kibosh you if anybody brings up anything about Adolf Hitler. Now, that is a politically incorrect third rail.
The guy was crazy. I mean, there were no good parts about him.
Right. Even of course, he was horrible.
His wardrobe, nothing. I mean, there was nothing good about him. But
his wardrobe?
No, I mean, say, not even his wardrobe.
Oh, I kind of like his wardrobe. What was wrong with his wardrobe?
No, I don't think he had a nice hat. Anything
well,
good
wait a second.
With
he had a nice hat and boots.
Just a crazy man. That.
Well, speaking of all of that, you know that there are really only five major countries that are left that are communist? You know what they are? They are Cuba,
mm-hmm.
China, Laos, North Korea, and Vietnam. Not Russia. Russia had, no. You know, dropped it. Cuba, China, Laos, which is, you know, near Vietnam, and North Korea. Those are the five communist countries.
And Cuba is still under control of a Castro, aren't they?
Well, it's basically under the control of the military that were under the control of the Castros.
But it's
Raul Castro.
Castro's gone,
brother.
It's not changing, correct?
No, it hasn't changed.
No.
We were hoping. Remember Raul Castro, the younger brother, right? State control of the Cuban economy has nearly bankrupted their government. Their government owns almost all means of production. It ranks among the lowest of all nations in South America and North America in terms of economic freedom.
Gee, didn't Obama go down there?
He did.
Watched a baseball game?
Yes, he did.
Or Rays were down there.
Sat in the stands with Raul. Yes, they were. Very good. He sat in the stands with Raul Castro. Remember?
Let's see. But
yeah.
But Trump is criticized for trying to get Fat Boy over there in North Korea.
Right.
The table.
Now, just speaking of North Korea, did you know they adhere to, this is the name of the official state ideology, J-U-C-H-E, whatever that means, but Juche. It translates into self-reliance. Now, can you, self-reliance. We're going to take all your food if you're a farmer. Try to self-rely, you know? I mean, now, the Hermit Kingdom, as they are called, remains the most secretive state in the world. And you know how many people must be starving there, right?
Uh-huh.
How many must be starving? So that's another great example. How about China? Now, China has done well, but only because they've opened up markets.
Mm-hmm.
They've started to allow people to go and create, these products. Like Hong Kong is being allowed to kind of run its own course. That's the only reason. It's such a secretive country, and certainly its communistic ideology has nothing to do with any
success. Do you remember the old pictures of Russia under, like, Brezhnev?
Yeah.
People in line for bread, blocks
of bread. Oh, yeah.
See, now Bernie would say, but it was great bread.
It was wonderful bread. It was the best bread I've ever had.
And the toilet paper was soft. But you had to stand in line.
You had to use it twice, but it was soft. Oh, boy, let's not go there. All right, Ed, get over on the drums. We're through with all of this because we got to tell people what the top 10 fastest growing jobs in America are. And I think you'll be surprised about these jobs. This, by the way, comes from Fox Business. So without further ado, here are the top 10 fastest growing jobs in America. Number 10, speech-language pathologist. Speech-language pathologist. It has a median salary of $77,500. Now, people in this field assess, diagnose, and treat communication disorders, whatever that means, right? Mm. You can't help yourself and you say bad things or something.
Right. Okay.
Like Tourette's syndrome, I guess. All right, number 9. Nurse practitioners. This is interesting. Their median salary, by the way, about $107,000. They have come along because of the government's involvement, which has meant that there are fewer doctors available. You go to a clinic these days, you go to your how many times do you really see your own doctor? You see the nurse practitioner now.
Yep.
Very good. All right, number 8. Statisticians. Statisticians. Pay is about $88,000. They analyze mathematical data to solve a wide range of problems. Number 7. I guess there's a difference between this and nurse practitioners. They're called physician assistants. Now, I guess they take your blood, you know, you go in and they do all of that nonsense. All right. Their median salary, believe it or not, $109,000.
Wow.
Now, they work with teams of physicians and surgeons to practice medicine. Okay, number 6. Wow, information security analyst. What the heck is that? Median salary, though, $98,000. They plan and execute an organization's security measures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that is big. Number 5. Occupational therapy assistants. Well, when I broke my arm, I guess I had some of Oh, no, that was physical therapy.
Yeah.
That's a little different. All right. Anyway, the growth rate, the median salary, $60,000. These people help patients develop, recover, and improve after an injury. Well, that's what they were doing to me. All right, number 4. Personal care aides. They don't make much yet. They only make about $24,000.
Well, how can they be better than these other ones? Oh, is this fastest growing?
Yeah, 36% growth, it says here in that industry. Like home health aides, personal care aides care for people with disabilities. So I guess they come in and they just work, help with the groceries and dishwashing, maybe that kind of thing, right? Number 3. And here's the other one to that group, home health aides. They get about $24,000 too. And I guess they just go in, like personal care and home health. Home health would work more with the disability itself. Personal care might clean up, you know what I mean. Okay. Number two is wind turbine service technicians. Wow. You make about $54,000. It says much like, well, I won't say what it says because, anyway, it says technicians there install and maintain wind turbines. Well, that's what it sounds like. All right, Ed, here we go.
Seeing as how that was something with alternative energy, I'm going to say solar, something to do with solar.
Well, Ed, I'm a little surprised. Number one is, you're right.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. Solar photovoltaic installers. Workers in this field assemble, install, and maintain solar panel systems. Ed, you nailed it, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Go.
We're back on Wednesday. Hope you're with us. Always remember, freedom works.
Why I'm feeling so high must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Not